By now, you've probably heard me raving about Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo, and I even caught my partner using it the other day because he smelled like seaweed. Now that's hot, right? You know who else would love Osea? Your mom, or your friends that are moms, or if you're a mom, because being a mom is hard work, and I think all moms deserve a spa day this Mother's Day. And what better way to make every day a spa day than with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo? And right now, you can even get an additional 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Treat moms to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Hi, I'm Yui Shu.
And I'm Julie Kraftchik.
We're active daters turned dating sociologists.
Here to dive into everything modern dating and relationships.
Welcome to the DATEABLE Podcast.
Hey, friends. We're back, as always. We're your dependable, dateable, lovable, fun.
The dependable, dateable duo.
Wow.
The three Ds, which is in line with that we're talking
about triple
today.
Ds.
The triple D.
We're your triple D hosts of dateable. We're going delirious, apparently. We're recording this intro in advance because we'll be in the middle of South by Southwest having the time of our lives.
Yes. Is Austin supposed to be like 1,000 degrees? Because I'm a little nervous about that.
1,002.
Okay. As long as it's that two over, I'm good.
I really hope our future selves are at the pool because we did book a place that has a pool. Let's just give all the wishes for our future self right now. I wish my future self is at the pool eating some really good barbecue.
I think everyone's future self deserves to be at a pool. That's a universal for everyone.
You all deserve, everyone take a moment, close your eyes, and picture yourself at a pool eating all the barbecue you could possibly eat.
I don't know why eating barbecue at the pool is not appealing to me. No, I'm down to eat barbecue. I'm down to go in the pool. There's something about eating barbecue at the pool. It's not the fantasy I wanted.
Would you rather eat barbecue before the pool or after the pool?
After the pool. Before seems like a bad thing. I also have PTSD because I was that person growing up that stopped getting invited to the pool parties because I might have vomited a few times in the pool. I was that person.
Julie, what? Why are you vomiting at the pool?
I just love swimming and I couldn't wait the 30 minutes.
Oh, because you ate and then you went straight
into the pool. Just too excited. And I got that reputation.
As the pool vomiter?
Some of the party invites started to dwindle down. So I maybe have PTSD about eating barbecue before going in the pool.
Well, I'm so glad that you set us up for success. Anybody with their future selves wanting to invite Julie to a pool party, just remember.
Hey, I'm 40 now. I've learned.
Have you?
Well, we'll report back next week, all. That would be bad. That would be bad.
We're gonna come back and be like, yeah, we're no longer allowed at South By. We got a pool vomiter with us.
Okay, well... I don't even know how you transition that.
you can't transition. But our future selves are having a good time, whether we're vomiting or not. It's so worth it. We're having a great fucking time.
See, I'm trying to get out of this conversation. I regret bringing it up.
We're having a really great fucking time regardless. But this is why we have to record this ahead of time. And then just the next week, we have another event where there could be a pool or two.
Podcast movement. We are finally going. We're excited. This is our month of diving in. This is it.
Yeah. Just like a little conference for little podcasters. It's not actually. It's like one of the biggest conferences for all podcasters. And it's like a great way for us to get in the community, I guess.
Yeah. But I'm excited because it's in LA. And this is really sad, but I've actually never seen UA's place.
It's true. It's true. But it's your future self will no longer be sad because Julie will be staying with me. I'm going to show her all the cute little coffee places near me and show her my daily life. She'll get immersed in my LA life.
I feel like a very bad friend right now.
Why?
Because I haven't come down.
I don't think that's a being a bad friend.
Some of it was over COVID. I'll use some of that as an excuse. But I realized too, like I went to Sacramento to see my old roommate and I hadn't been there in 5 years she's lived there.
Oh my gosh. It's hard. I mean, it's hard, right? And also I had another human and another dog in my place for a long time.
That's the real reason I didn't go. I'm just kidding.
That's the real reason I didn't invite you. I would not want to stick another human in my house with two other humans and two other dogs already in the house. I'm so glad that's no longer the issue here.
Yeah, I think it's because you used to come up so often to SF too.
Yeah.
And now that obviously is not the case anymore. So I will be coming to LA more. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to be in warm weather. I'm excited
Don't jinx
to
us.
Fine. Okay. Sorry.
Damn it.
I'm excited to see you and to meet more podcasters. And I was going to say I will get to meet your partner in LA, but I'm going to be meeting him earlier. So.
Yeah, your future self already met him. But this episode, why are you here? Why is everybody here right now? We're here for this episode with our dear friend. I like to call her our dear friend, even though we've never met her in person. Haifa, because she's so lovely and we really bonded with her.
It's the British accent.
Is it? It's like instantly you just want to be best friends with her.
Yeah. And we are excited to talk to Haifa. I actually found an article she wrote mm-hmm. on Newsweek a long time ago. And she's been kind of one of those people I'm like, eventually we need to get her into rotation. So yes, we became instant friends. We recorded for her app that she does, but also she's going to be making that into a podcast. So mm-hmm. that was really fun. I think that's why we go way back, because we've told her our entire life story. But yeah. What's really interesting about like this episode and why like initially she caught my attention was, one, we know that you all love a good dating strategy.
Yes.
Like, what's working for other people? How can you have more of a framework or something to go by? We've done episodes like this in the past. We'll actually link some of these as well, because at the core of it, you got to find the right strategy for you. So we did one about the man funnel mm-hmm. back in the day. And we've done a few other strategy ones too. Ultimately with this though, what came out of it is the question around, is multi-dating a good strategy?
Well, it's because Haifa's strategy is a 3-3-3 strategy. And as part of one of the threes is around dating three people at once. So we get into this really deep and meaty discussion around, like, is that how we should be dating, having three or multiple people in our rotation?
Yeah. And I want to go into multi-dating and get your take, because I feel like this is a term that I've seen been popping up a lot lately. I feel like we've always talked about like dating multiple people at once, but putting the name multi-dating around it, I've seen this more recently. I have a lot of thoughts on this topic. I'm curious what yours are, though.
I've done it, and it's been good, and it's also been bad. I think the good is that you don't feel so anxious about just one person. Mm-hmm. There's always, I hate to say a fallback, but there's another option out there. But the bad is I felt like I was spreading myself too thin among all these people. So I didn't feel like I was investing the time and energy into each one.
Yeah. I think it really takes knowing yourself. Absolutely. Like, if you're the anxious dater, it feels better to kind of get to know people more slowly, which I think by default you do with multi-dating, right? Because mm-hmm. you just can't, you know, you can't spend like every day with someone when you're dating like three people or whatever amount. So I think that could be good for some people, and to also know like this isn't the be-all end-all, maybe to get out of that scarcity mindset. So I think from that perspective, it can be really good. I fear the numbers game mm-hmm. approach with multi-dating of, and I've been here before when I was just like going on date after date and thinking of people as very disposable, right? It's like I was swiping on new people while I was on dates with existing people. It just felt kind of like icky, like I wasn't giving my presence and attention to people on the actual date. So for me, it ended up being more of like a cycle that I was doing a lot, but not really having anything progress. So for me, it actually turned out it was better for me to give more attention one at a time and then quickly decide if this person like is or isn't right for me and then move on.
Yeah, because in multi-dating, I had the tendency to keep people around who were not right for me, just wanting to have a rotation of people. But if I had just dated this person individually, I probably wouldn't have continued on a second, third, fourth date, whatever. So yes, knowing yourself and also really evaluating each person as them individually, not in comparison to the other ones, is also important. And knowing that you wouldn't want to be in that position where you're just a filler, though, you know, like yeah. there is no potential for a future, but you know, you're just filling someone's time.
Yeah. And I also think it depends, I think like we talked about, depends on the personality. It also depends on your dating experience, maybe. I think like looking back when I was multi-dating, it was actually good for me at that time because I was new to dating. I didn't feel super confident. It helped me just like hone in on those interpersonal skills of, you know, interacting with people of the opposite sex that I was looking to attract. Mm-hmm. So I think that was good for me. It didn't ultimately lead me to a relationship, but I think it was practice ground to get more comfortable. So maybe there's a time and a place for it. And I don't think everyone needs that. Some people are just naturally more comfortable even without experience. So I think a lot of it comes down to like personal experience and just the way that you've operate too.
And Haifa's 3-3-3 strategy, she talks about the multi-dating in terms of intentionally dating these people with yeah. promise. And that's something I forgot to do multi-dating was intentionally dating everyone. So I remember when I was 30, I was dating someone 35 and dating someone 25. I was just kind of like, this is great, having a great time, because the 25-year-old guy was able to give me things that the 35-year-old guy couldn't give me, and vice versa. I ended up choosing one. I chose the 25-year-old, but as soon as the 35-year-old left, I felt like I couldn't like the 25-year-old as much. Because I wasn't getting all the benefits of two people. That was a major learning for me. It's like I needed to understand that I had to date both of them intentionally and not just like as a group. It's not a group effect.
So maybe that's the thing. It's not like, is multi-dating bad or good? It's, are you being intentional, whatever you're
right.
doing?
Right, right.
Because there's a time and a place. Some people operate better that way. Ultimately, this is all about finding the strategy that works for you. And, you know, we love talking to Haifa because this worked for her. This is what got her out of her funk. This yes. is what got her more confident. So love how much she goes into it. Of course, you know, test it out, like be an incubator, try things. And if it doesn't work for you, that's okay too. Like find something that works for you. But ultimately, the only way to know what works for you is to also know what doesn't work for you.
And don't get pressured by people around you.
Yeah.
I remember when I was dating this last time around, so many people were saying, don't you want to have more people in your funnel? Don't you want to be dating around more? And I kind of got sucked into it. I felt guilty for not really pursuing that. And then I had to step back and be like, I'm a 43-year-old woman who knows what she wants. And yeah. it's not dating multiple people. I don't feel like I need to play the field or go out on a right. 1,000 dates. So I will stick to that. But I did have a moment of feeling like, oh, maybe I'm doing this all wrong.
Yeah, that's a really good point too. And also like that doesn't tie into your experience of the past.
Yeah.
Like you've been there before. You've done that. Like you know what you want. You talk about dating all the time. You have a clear picture. I think for me, when I met my partner, I was not multi-dating mm-hmm. either. I was very much like going on like, you know, I was still going on dates. But at the time when I met him, I wasn't actually on a date with anyone else. I'd kind of like tied up all those mm-hmm. to decide like, okay, these aren't moving forward, or they tied it up with me, whatever it was. It was not like an active person at that point. I wasn't like balancing multiple people. And when I look back on it, my other two partners I met too, I was not multi-dating, but I saw a good thing and could recognize a good thing when it came my way because I kind of knew what I was looking for.
Right. Yes. But coming to that realization of what to know what you're looking for does take a little comparison and experience.
Yeah.
So if you still need that comparison, do it. You do you. Because sometimes you don't know till you're with multiple people.
Yeah. And what I love about this discussion, which we'll get into, is that it goes beyond just having people in your rotation. Mm-hmm. It's actually like dating them with intention and addressing conflict and getting to know them over time, like all the things that are really important for finding the right partner. And I think a common perception with multi-dating is that you just like run through it. It's a pure numbers game and you don't really give anyone a chance. Like if they do something wrong, on to the next. And that is not what Haifa is saying at all in the strategy. I like that we're approaching multi-dating a little differently than how it's historically looked at.
And scientifically.
Okay, well, we will go into this in much more depth with Haifa. But before we do, announcements at Dateable Podcast, that's where you find us, at Julie Kravchik, at Nonplatonic, that's also personal accounts.
Instagram. And
this is all on Instagram, but you can also go to TikTok. We are actively trying to grow TikTok. Please. So show us some love on TikTok. It's a little embarrassing how few followers we have on TikTok, but we will get there
eventually. We broke 500.
Woo! And YouTube, we're also on YouTube. And, you know, we are thinking about just like more content in general. So look for new stuff that's going to be coming your way soon. Okay. Before we get into it, let's take a minute to hear from some sponsors. Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at Via Hemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Via gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Via also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to Via Hemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's VIIAHemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Via Hemp.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets, ultra cooling, and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Okay, let's hear from Haifa.
Modern dating is so unprecedented that many of us are trying to find different strategies, how to make modern dating work for us. And our guest today has come up with a strategy that has worked for her and many others. We'll get into it in a little bit. Just a little teaser. It's the 333 dating strategy. I can't wait to hear about this. But who is our guest today? Her name is Haifa. She's in her late 30s, lives in New York, originally from London, currently single and actively going on dates. And she's the founder of Be What Matters, a coaching app that helps you bounce back after a breakup and reset your dating game, in addition to other self-care and lifestyle help and advice. Welcome, Haifa.
So happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. I saw your article, I think it was a couple of years ago at this point, on Newsweek, and it caught my attention with the 333, or as you say, 333, however you want to do it. It definitely caught my attention because, like UA said, we're always looking for ways to like make modern dating work for us. So we're excited to learn more about what you have in store here.
Brilliant. And it really is difficult, isn't it? I mean, modern dating, you know, it's just every year there's new words that we need to learn and, you know, new trends are coming out. I can't believe we talk about dating trends these days, but it's not what it used to be. And how we navigate it, really, I think what my success and my clients' success have all been down to strategy.
You're right. I mean, it's not what it used to be and it keeps moving and keeps evolving, but you noticed a shift in 2013 that really inspired the strategy. So tell us about that shift you observed.
Absolutely. So in terms of my own journey, I went from, they call us a geriatric millennial, unfortunately, being in my late 30s.
We're with you, Haifa. I like elder. I prefer elder to geriatric.
Sorry, side note. I was at dinner with friends last night and I was like, I am the last millennial because I was born in 81. And they were like, no, you are the first millennial.
Like, oh my God, I am the first millennial.
But we are so needed because we've seen the world before tech and smartphones and dating apps and have seen it after. And so the shift that I felt pre-dating apps, I would go out, be asked out left, right, and center. You know, we had no issue getting dates. I was confident and just really, when I was dating, feeling at peace, really enjoying it, treating those partners, potential partners, as friends, having fun, seeing it for what it was. And then in 2013, I started to feel a bit of a shift. Less people were asking me out, going out, and there were more on their phones. And then I just started to notice over time that we were doing two things. One, obviously not connecting in real life as much, but two, because we could get access to dates instantly on dating apps, people were not appreciating the time that they were having with the other person. And hey, I was guilty of this too. I call it disposable dating behavior, you know. And that as a result by itself, or I thought just that by itself, was what started to cause me this feeling of anxiety. I went from being confident and present and excited and having fun on the dates to being there and fearful and worried and caring more about whether I'm going to get another date with that person instead of actually liking them. I completely lost my sense of self. Yes. And it's all down to the tech, in my opinion, but I can unpack that in a second. But that's kind of the shift that I felt, and it was down to those dating app points.
So let's unpack that. Like, I want to hear your experience on dating apps. Like, when you first felt like, okay, no one's really talking in real life, let me get on them. To how that evolved the more you were on them.
Absolutely. So I was in New York City where people say it's the hardest place to date. And I have to say, spoiler alert, I call BS on that and I'll come back to that later.
Okay.
It's not.
I love it.
It's absolutely not. Yeah. And so I was in New York and, you know, it was easy to date. And then on the dating apps, when people started using them, it just became even more active. Like dating scene here was just always on the go. People would talk about what dates they had lined up that week. I was excited about the fact that I had three dates lined up that week. It felt like a game. So at first, people thought this was amazing because it was improving their dating lives. But in the background, more things were going on. So one, this disposable dating behavior, because subconsciously and because we have all these options, we think, oh, if there's one thing that isn't great about this person, or, you know, something that gives us what we say now, the ick, we would let them go, right? And find another date to fill that spot. So I started to notice that people were just dating more, but not consistently and getting into this hookup culture. But then in the background, all of us back then had guy friends and girlfriends. I still do, but we were all saying the same thing. They want to meet a partner, but doing the exact opposite behavior. So I dug a bit deeper because, ladies, I'm a bit of a geek, but also to your listeners who don't know me, hello. I'm actually a professionally qualified futurist. And the reason why I built Bee, the app, is because what that means is for the last 15 years in health and tech, I've been helping businesses understand the trends of the future and what to do and how to evolve in future. And what we do is we look at trends and how it impacts business and the world and society. And one of the things is, as technology has advanced, ourselves, our human side, our social side declines. And so I dug deeper into it and I was like, what is going on? We can't just be the problem. Because if people are saying to me and I'm saying it at brunch and everyone's like, oh, I want a relationship, but we're all actually disposing of every date that we have if they have one thing that's wrong, then what is actually going on? So I started to explore and do some research. And because I was feeling worse about myself, Julie, I know you asked me like, what was I feeling? But over time, within 1 year, I felt insecure. I lost my self-esteem and I didn't know what to do about it. So I was like, there's more going on here than me and the dating apps. So with some research, I started to see that actually they're designed a certain way to keep you hooked and trigger certain chemicals in your brain, right? And then even deeper, so if you're not matching with people back on the app at the same time, or if people don't reply to you, or if they ghost after a few days, all versions of that on the spectrum triggers the same part of the brain as processing physical pain, the somatosensory system. So what's going on in the background is that there's these little pangs of pain, emotional pain that we're feeling if we're not getting responses back. And we have been slowly separating from each other, and it's becoming harder to actually form meaningful, lasting connections. So as a result of that, you know, not only me, but other people were starting to feel more lonely and down and depressed year on year since 2013. And now, even over the last 3 years, it went from 50% of millennials like me and Gen Zs of being lonely, but now it's 70%. Over 3 years, that's increased by 20%. And I truly believe, as a futurist, looking at the data in terms of the changes in technology, the way we use them, the way that it's impacted our behavior, both consciously with us saying, oh, you know what? I'll get another date next week. It's fine. But the unconscious pang pain every time someone doesn't match back, and not getting a second or third date increases that loneliness and feeling sad. So there was two things: the mental health impact and the actual connection impact. And that's why I built B, because I truly believe not only do you need a dating strategy to navigate modern dating, 333, ladies and gents, coming very, very shortly, but also taking care of our mental health and well-being at the same time, because it's happening without us even knowing.
Yeah. First of all, this first time hearing about someone being a futurist who's not a psychic. So thank you for clarifying what that is. And I think this is the first time, and Julie, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first time on our podcast, everybody's unpacked this whole dating app affecting mental health thing for us. But this is the first time I heard someone talk about the inaction as part of the problem.
Yes.
Most of the time we talk about it's the back and forth messaging.
Yes.
It's the bad lines, it's the bad profiles. But what you're saying is actually a lot of the pain comes from the non-response and the non-matches. And that actually brings me back to when I was in high school. Do you remember Sadie Hawkins dance? We called it boosters, where the girl asks the guy to go to the dance. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't have these stupid dances anymore. I remember leaving a voicemail on someone's answering machine asking him to go to the dance with me. He never responded back to me. And the pain I felt in my stomach that day of like, I have to face him again. This is so embarrassing. I'm so ashamed. I couldn't eat that day. But imagine having that feeling 10x
right
every day on a dating app.
Right.
That's what you're
exactly.
That's very subtle.
Yeah.
But now it's you're bringing it to light for me.
That's exactly it. Like imagine every single swipe time act that you do in the morning, or you know, at lunchtime or after work. Perhaps you have three active dating app sessions that are about 15 minutes. You can swipe on so many people. That's going to happen throughout the day. You're constantly getting this sense of, I'm not good enough throughout the day. And it's triggering that pain without you even knowing it. And with the addiction side, and appreciate that, you know, we're becoming more aware. And I think there's actually a lawsuit that actually was served to Match Group on Valentine's Day, zing, right?
Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah. Yep.
On the addictive quality, but that addictive quality, you want that dopamine again. So those two things at the same time, the triggering of the emotional pain plus that need for recognition, you're constantly on this roller coaster of high, low. Mm. That is anxiety in itself.
Right.
It's like you see the thousands of people, right, that are smiling back at you and you automatically assume they all want to date you. And then when they don't message, that's when it hits where, you know, in the olden days, you weren't even exposed to those people. So you didn't have the quantity effect.
Exactly. And with that, Julie, that's one of the aspects of leading into the disposable behavior, this broader social media comparison culture that we have. And we assume everyone's happy and living their best lives, seeing them on the dating profiles. Oh, these are these amazing people. That sense of being real has just been stripped back. And so I'm so grateful for being on your podcast to be able to talk about this because, you know, and just seeing that the more we advance in tech and it's only happening more, I mean, hello, AI, there's a whole other thing we could talk about with, you know, AI and the impact on relationships. But for now, this strategy really addresses what's going on with what we're dealing with right now, which is that disposable behavior that is impacting our mental health. You know, when it comes to dating, and I do want to talk about dating mental health, like people don't often talk about that, but it really is a thing to be aware of and to take care. And also looking at the fact that the other side of it, when you have the options in front of you, actually making sure that you're choosing the right people. So this strategy will also help you choose the right people, not only take care of your mental health, not only keep you in check of the disposable behavior, because, hey, I've done it, you've done it, we've all done it. Right?
Of course. So where are you right now then? Where are you, like, what made you, I guess, decide to say, like, let me come up with this strategy? And how did you even get to the strategy?
Yes. So I really felt that consistent, collective, incremental shift of going from confidence to anxious, to then doing the same thing myself to protect my own heart. Okay, well, I'm going to reject you before you reject me.
Yeah.
So I just discovered that actually there were so many different things going on at the same time. And I went back into the geek mode. I was like, let me categorize all these things. Where do they fit? So first of all, I was like, I've got to fix the problem because I'm both now the problem and I have to be the solution. And I really believe we are all collectively creating the problem, but we can all individually be the solution. So I thought to myself, right, what is this anxiety now causing me to do? One, I'm just dating to get to the next date. Mm. I am no longer dating to determine if we're a good match. So why am I doing that? One, because I now think there's not enough people out there. No. So I need to now date more than more people and actually free myself up and not think about the fact that I just have to get to the next date. I need to get back into the OG mentality of, are you good enough for me? And vice versa. And what am I actually looking for? So I did a reset. I reset myself. So, okay, what do I want? What do I value? What is important to me? What kind of partner am I? How do I show up for that? And vice versa. And so instead of putting all my eggs in one basket, I expanded my pool and I was like, right, I need to date more people at the same time so that I can get back to the OG me, right?
Okay.
So that was number three. Three people at the same time. That was the first three. All of those problems laddered to that number three.
I'm curious because it's interesting that the issue was disposable dating, but the solution was to date more people at once.
Yeah.
Right.
What was kind of that differentiation for you?
I love a paradox. And we are that complicated. and there's two sides to everything. I think if you're into astrology as well, and tarot, the shadow and the light side, but the problem being disposable behavior, but the solution being date more people. It's actually more dating more intentionally with those people and making a commitment to yourself and to that person that you're dating, that you're going to get to know them and be present and authentically decide if they are going to continue to date you and you them or not, rather than, so it's still disposable, but in more of a good-hearted way and actually in a way that takes care of both of you at the same time when it comes to growing a relationship or not, being honest and authentic.
Okay. I like that clarification because it's not about just having three people in the pipeline.
Right.
It's about having three people that you're committing to get to know and develop connections with. They're not just a name or a no name in your phone book. They have a name, a face, and a story behind them. Got it.
Right, UA, that's the goal. But, you know, often with coaching my clients, they say to me, Haifa, I can't even get a date. How can I get three? So we'll get into the strategy in a second. You don't just go on a date and then you decide that you are going to commit and that person is going to continue on with you. You will have people who will stay in that number three rotation, or people will leave, and that's because you might not spark and you'll then meet somebody else. But ideally, it is getting to that point of three.
Okay. So it's not about just like rotating in and out the three, but more giving them a chance. Let's say you have two that you really like. Where do you find this third? Like, is that part of the strategy that like you should find this third person, or is it not that hard and fast?
Right. So I believe, and this is what's worked for me and my clients, is there will always be three.
Okay.
Oh.
There will always be a front runner.
Okay.
Until you're
first,
exclusive.
Second, third. I love it.
Yeah. First, second, and third. And so I'm going to explain broadly the other two threes and come back to this if you don't
mind, ladies.
So,
yep.
Brilliant. So the first three is about three people. The second one is to date them for up to 3 months and 3 months before making a commitment. And the last third is giving them three chances before you let them go. And there's very specific reasons for each of those things that addresses the cultural problem and our unconscious dating behaviors. So that's why that first three is really important to have three people in the pool of your dates that you're looking to build a relationship with. You will have front runners. They might change. I've had situations where I thought, oh my goodness, I might have met the love of my life. And then, you know, 2 months in, absolutely not. I thought, oh my goodness, what a lucky escape, you know, because it takes time to really get to know someone's character and values and how you connect or disconnect and how you might be able to mend that. So people can change in their position, front runner, second or third. And that third, you will essentially probably not keep dating for those 3 months and you will replace. I highly recommend you have three people so that it does this other thing for you, which is making sure that you don't fall into the trap that I fell into, which was, oh, I like kind of like them enough. So I'm going to let certain things go in the hope that they will change. Mm, right?
Yeah.
So it's making sure you don't put all your eggs in one basket and that you can assess red flags and green flags appropriately without triggering that anxiety of wanting to get to the next date or being with somebody.
And sometimes you do need a point of comparison. If you are just dating one person, it is a little bit hard to assess, right? I find that when I date.
It really is. And people put on their best face. So do I. You know, I'm not arrogant to say that I'm different. I'm human too. We all do the same things. So we put on our best foot forward. We want to impress. We also have our past baggage distorting our how we even show up and interpret the date. And so, you know, by giving yourself those options and time, it can really help you stay objective, to get caught in the excitement, but stay objective, because ultimately what we're doing is looking for our life partner and it's not going to be anyone. So why should we rush something like that and not give it the attention that it requires, that it would require in, say, your career in comparison? When you go for a job interview, you're not just going to get any job, are you? Well, hopefully, if you have that luxury to really choose the type of work that you're in. But we pay a lot of attention to the kind of company that we look for, the values that they have, the benefits that they give us, right? We should absolutely be doing the same thing with dating, but not using corporate speak, in actually more real speak. So three people to assess if they are aligned to your values, if you have both compatibility and chemistry, and making sure that if you're not vibing with each other, letting them go kindly and then getting somebody else in that third place or second place until you are exclusive with somebody else, that you've actually made that conscious decision.
So many questions for you. I guess the first, let's start here.
Yes.
The first is, why three? Why not five? Why not six? Like, why not 10? Yeah. Like, if you're truly trying to like see what's good for you, how'd you get to three?
Do you know what? I wish that we had like a whiteboard and we could write all the 99 problems of dating. Because this is another one. Dating burnout is another problem. Yeah. Dating at burnout, right? And it also addresses the disposable issue. If we are seeing too many people or swiping to get more matches, we're going to get burnt out and it's going to block us from actually being present and truly getting to know someone and committing to getting to know that person and giving them a chance before letting them go, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another problem. It's that dating burnout. So that's why it's three, Julie. I have tried this and tested this myself before I even started coaching and before then built the app. Three is your maximum before you get burnout. Mm-hmm. And usually you will have a front runner that you go past date three into four, five, or they might then go, you might let them go. A second one you might have up until date three. So people are in and out, but mm-hmm. there will be a few over the course of, dare I say, I'm going to give you another three, about 3 months until one really rises to the top. and in testing this myself and then coaching other people, that has been the consistent point of it being manageable and not leading to burnout.
Got it. It's kind of like a middle ground of like having enough options, but not going so haywire that you can't really get to know any of them. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Exactly.
And so how do you prevent yourself from using the other two people to hedge your feelings for number one?
Yeah.
This might lead into the second part of this strategy. I can see myself being like, well, number one pissed me off today. So
right,
at least
exactly.
I still got two and three.
Yeah. Well, we see a lot of people, that's like the reason they're serial dating or having multiple people at once in the pipeline. It's the protection. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket because then if they fall out, then I feel bad. It goes back to that, you know, effect that you were talking about earlier. Now I feel that pain and that ping. So how do you like balance that of, you know, getting to know three people, making sure that you truly get to know them before committing, but also like what Yue was saying, you're not just like using the other two to like make yourself feel better.
Right. This is where it comes back to us. All roads lead back to you. It's your intention with the dating and getting to know yourself first. So as I mentioned earlier, before I started doing this again, I was like, let me reset myself first. What's going on with me? What's blunting my ability to build a relationship? Why am I feeling anxious again? All these things, unpacking that and then resetting and pinpointing what I'm looking for. Who am I in a relationship? So getting back to yourself in the process of dating, because you will, you're absolutely right. It's human. We're going to get arrogant. Like, oh, I've got three people. It's fine. I'll date you on Tuesday and you on Thursday. And, you know, I actually maybe not even build a connection. So really after every date would recommend that you reflect on the date. What happened in the first place? Did you enjoy it? Why? Did you not? Why? What was your impact on that result? What was their impact on that result? Do you want to see them again? Why? What would you want to do the next time you see them to get to know them better based on what you need to find out? What do you need to be mindful of? And while you're having fun, and Julie, you said this to me when you were on my show mm-hmm. about treating someone as a friend, as you're going on the next date, hanging out with them like they're a friend, you know, not treating it like an interview. So yes, rechecking back in with yourself, so that you don't fall into those very easy ego traps and getting mm-hmm. back to your intention of dating.
Yeah. I think like people are definitely intentional about dating, but I don't know if it's as like, I guess, linear and strategic maybe. Like that's kind of a difference.
Yeah.
So Yue, you had your part of like, this is where I would kind of fall maybe with this strategy. My take is, I love the three in the sense that it does take time to get to know someone. Totally feel that. Mm-hmm. You really don't get to know someone for 3 months. I'm with you. Sometimes even 6 months and longer. But where I think it would be hard for me personally is getting to an emotional deep connection with all three at the same time. One, just from time alone. But then also, like, it would almost feel like maybe I'm misleading the other people. And I know that's common sense at this time that people are dating multiple people. But like, how do you get around that? Like, one, getting to really know the people. And then are you upfront with them that you're dating other people? Like, what's your take on that?
Right. Absolutely. And the reality is, I mean, if you're in a situation where you are building a connection that is growing, you're getting past date two, getting past date three, four, five, six, with three at the same time, And I can see that will then be a challenge. And what typically would help with that is just really making sure that you're balancing the time that you're spending with the other two. I think there's always a front runner. It's coming back to who are you growing a relationship with more so than the other? And who do you want to continue to invest more time with to see if that relationship is going to grow and get to a commitment, right? If you both want to commit. And if one is going that way, dial down the time with the other two. So I wouldn't be recommending people to date the three at the same time, three times a week. That will lead to burnout. So I'm so glad you asked that question, Julie, because wouldn't want anyone to think they have to date three people and escalate emotionally with three people at the same time. No, I think that's a really great question. Actually, you want to get to the one, don't you? Mm-hmm. So it's about who out of those three that you're seeing and feeling and experiencing, developing that consistent bond. Consistency is everything. You're feeling safe with and it's growing. You're having fun and you're building the foundations of the type of relationship that you want. Giving that more time and then sort of dialing down the time you're spending with the others. And you will then see if that's going to continue to escalate into more intimacy, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, and then deciding together if you want to make a commitment and not see any other people, right? And then you can let the other two go kindly. But during that time, you might, as you grow your emotional and intimate connection, you might decide that actually that isn't going to grow to a committed relationship. That was a great experience for me, but not really for me long term. So managing the time to manage the emotional connection, I guess. And I think really as well, it's sort of also looking at making sure that you are upfront. Mm-hmm. I always tell people I'm dating other people. Okay. And I think in the world when you're using dating apps, people know. I think it's an unspoken reality that people are dating other people, but I like to be upfront with it because some people are still new to dating apps. Yeah. So it's usually something that I bring up on the first date.
So how would you say that to someone? Like, let's say you have someone that it's developing. Would you just be like, hey, really like where this is going, but I'm also seeing other people, or like, that's how I operate. Like, how would you phrase that?
Yeah. When it's developing or on the first date? Because I usually raise it on the first date.
Yeah, I don't think on the first date. Okay, interesting. Well, maybe you can share that too, but...
Yeah. I usually do. I think it usually comes up in conversation because depending on how I've met that person, whether it be real life or on dating apps. So at some point in the conversation, I would raise dating, like, you know, what do you love and hate about dating apps? You know, and I would ask that question because it brings that common ground. And I find that it really brings the guard down about being successful in dating and puts you on that equal playing field of dating apps being a challenge. So I actually ask that question more openly for us to actually be more honest about the realities of dating. And that's how I then say it. So I build that bond around what's great and what's not so great and talk about how it's impacting everyone and kind of give us both some grace and we laugh about it. And then I say, you know, the good thing is that you can date multiple people and get to know someone for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I'm doing. Like I'm here to date to find my person, whoever it is. And you know, I'm going to be dating other people until that happens. And I'm sure you are too. And it's part of the conversation.
Got it.
You know, when it's part of a conversation about a broader problem with dating apps, it feels more natural. If to just say, hey, I'm dating other people, it feels more clumsy and forced.
Yeah, I like that. I want to dive into this even more. But before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our partners. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off.
That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this, I can see this getting a little dicey with the second part of your strategy, which is 3 months. I'm guessing that's 3 months per person. So let's say you're number one.
Yeah.
You haven't hit 3 months yet, but your number one says, I'm ready to be exclusive.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
That's happened to me ever since I've been using this strategy. I'm not just saying this, I promise, honestly. And I have to slow it down. I'm a big fan of slow dating, and I do maintain that boundary. And it's important because, you know, not everyone's like me. We're all different personalities. I'm a positive personality type. I'm ever the optimist. I will always see the best thing in someone. And that's what's gotten me in previous challenges in relationships where I've let certain things go because I'm looking for the best and I believe that the best will happen. Mm. So I do maintain that 3 months. And so my response will be, I'm really excited about this. I'm loving what's going on here and I can't wait for us to keep growing. And I'm very honest. And I say, you know, for me, I need to wait a bit longer just to make sure that I'm feeling safe and comfortable sort of growing this to the next level. And I think it takes time to really get to know someone. And I want you to have that time with me. I'm probably going to do something that's going to really bother you. And how we address it is everything. We haven't had any conflict yet. And I think that's really important to me to work out when things aren't going right, what we're going to do about it before committing. And I think that's important for you too. And so by that point, I really hope that somebody is in a relationship that is communicative enough to have a conversation like that. Yeah. Because if not, why on earth would you be exclusive?
Right. I love the way you frame that because it's not about them. And like, I'm not sure about you. I'm trying to see what else is out there that's better. It's all about setting your relationship up for success.
Yes.
And yeah, I love that. I really like the way you framed it.
Yeah, that's really nice. And also it takes away from the anxiety of early dating when it's like a month in, you're like, should we have a talk?
Yeah.
2 months in, you're like, should we have a talk? It's nice to be like, you know, I'm giving this 3 months no matter what. So I'm going to wait to have this talk in 3 months and whatever happens in between, it's like, let's see what unfolds.
Yeah.
What if you are, because you have the three people, mm-hmm. and everybody enters at different timelines. Mm-hmm. You could be at a 3 month with your number one, just about to go exclusive, but like this number three spot gets filled with someone you have an intense connection with. What do you do at that point?
I love that question, Yue. Oh, and that has happened to me, and I'm sure will happen to listeners. And this is where I come back to, and I think we talked about this together before, UA, that love is a choice, right? You're always, there's always going to be somebody more good looking, more successful than you and or your partner. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, you've got to choose love. You've got to choose to make a commitment. Mm. And that's up to you. If you feel that you have learned enough about that person to choose betting on that love and growing that love, great. And if not, then, you know, let's not be so rigid and controlling. You can give it another month, you know, if you want. That's up to you. But at some point, you have to choose love. And I really believe that 3 month mark is enough time to know if you have enough of a foundation to grow, because on average, let's break it down, like one date a week, then 2 days a week, then three, right? You're going to get to know each other, and there's going to be things that come up that's going to bother you, which leads to the next three in a second. But over that time, you will know enough about that person as to whether you can choose that person to explore an actual relationship with them. But it's up to you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask too, is like, how do you not have this be like a never ending cycle? And I think it like comes down to what you're saying too, is like, if you're feeling like, oh, I need to see who comes in next all the time, like either you're not that into the person that you're trying to maybe commit to, or you're not ready for a relationship. Those are probably the things that would come to mind. We've definitely 100% talked to listeners before and people that we've met with of people being unsure, like, I'm not positive about this person. Like, there's a lot of good, but I'm not fully sure. And we've definitely given also a lot of advice of just let it play out for 3 months and see what happens.
Love it.
The part that we is a little different is we haven't necessarily had these other two that are sitting there. And I guess the part that I'm still like kind of trying to comprehend is like, what's going on with these other two? Like, they still feel like filler to me. And like, how do you make sure that you build the relationship with those two to actually see if it is a better fit? Because ultimately, that's what you're trying to do here, right? Is see what is the best fit for you. But if you're like spending 90% of your time with one, how is like two and three actually getting a fair share, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Again, all roads lead back to you and checking in with how you're feeling after the date. And why is it that you're wanting to grow and continue with the other person? And giving the other people the same shot after each date. What helps with that, just to be really tangible, is having certain types of dates that you would like to do that will help you get to know the other person and for you to actually be your authentic self and relax so that you can come back and check in with how you're feeling. Did you really have fun? Were you able to feel like you were vibing as friends? Were you able to speak up when something bothered you? If not, why not? And giving them a fair shot really comes down to you. And I find that having certain types of dates really helps with that. So let me give you some examples. First date, if you've met on a dating app, which is more of a pre-date, isn't it, ladies? It's not even a date yet.
Exactly.
You know, it's something casual, coffee. One of my favorites was met up with a guy, this was years ago, and we grabbed coffee, walked along the Hudson River. This was in New York, ladies, and gents. Walked along the Hudson River, went back down. We met kind of near Chelsea Piers area, walked down. So we were just chatting. You know, we went onto that little island, went back down. We were having a really nice conversation. I definitely wanted to continue it. He invited me to then scoop to the left and go to the West Village. And we went there and we found this cute little restaurant bar down some steps and had another drink. And we continued the conversation. A casual first date, right?
Cute.
Where you can just chat. And then a second date would be something more activity-based, where it doesn't feel awkward if you do an activity-based date on the first date. You're too in your own head, I think.
Yeah.
So an activity-based date of some form to see if you can have fun with each other. A third date, something a little bit more stressful. I wouldn't recommend, you know, an escape room. Or maybe that's like date eight. But something that can sort of kind of let your guard down. What's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of...
vulnerable, like a vulnerable
thing? Or like lead you into more of that.
What would that be? Like couples therapy? What?
Listen to your podcast. You know, actually a cooking date.
Oh,
if
that's
you could
good.
Go to a cooking class.
Like teamwork or something.
That's fun. A teamwork thing where it's something, there is a time connected to it. And the word that I'm looking for is more around letting down your guard to interject from the sort of that same behavior, like breaking through the same behaviors that you put in on first dates, that facade. Oh, yeah, I'm great. But when you're then doing something that isn't in the standard date, it will interject that would just cause you to just be a little bit more real and authentic. So if you are on a cooking class, for example, you have to let go of control, right? Someone else is teaching you how to do something. And then you're given instructions to do something together. And then you've got to keep an eye on the pot that's boiling. You're going to start to see how people are in their natural habitat. Are they stressed that you burnt the bacon? Or are they laughing about it and saying, I prefer extra crispy bacon anyway? Yeah. You know, so it's kind of moving into different dates to get to know each other in more of a natural way. what you pick up in those scenarios and what they pick up about you is, again, more authentic and is going to help you determine if that's the kind of partner that you want to be with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I assume like some of this stuff can lead to the third three of like seeing like points of contention, like you said, if they get angry that you burn the bacon versus letting it go. Like what? Right. Walk us through that part and why is that so important?
100%. And also an example that a guy gave me early when I was coaching, and I would coach men and women, and he was dating two other women. He was doing the 3-3-3. And he said, you know, the moment that I knew that my partner was my partner is that I did the same date and we were looking over, you know, a bridge wall, and one lost her sunglasses and was like, oh my God, I can't believe it, like really freaked out. And then the other person was walking down. They didn't look over the bridge, didn't lose her sunglasses too, but a similar situation happened where, you know, like she tripped or something. And then she just started laughing. She's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. You know, and like she scuffed her coat, something like that. It was just, you know, something based on like what she was wearing. And the other one just like let it go and laughed at it. And the other one was just like super stressed.
Yeah.
And they could see certain traits about the personality that wouldn't come up if you're sitting down just having a conversation over coffee. That's kind of what I mean.
Sure.
Cool. Got it. So the third three to your question, Julie, it's, if one thing happens and you let someone go, that's a bit of a shame because some people just have bad days, don't they? And it's giving people three chances before you let them go. And when something happens, you give them the benefit of the doubt. You never know. If it happens again, it's a signal that it's a behavior and it's what you do at that time that matters. So I would mention it. Hey, you've done this a couple of times. Is that, you know, just how you are? Let me know how I, you know, if you need anything from me in this situation. But we can unpack a specific example in a second. But say something the second time it comes up, if it bothers you, whatever it is. Light touch, doesn't have to be stressful. And then if it happens again the third time, even though you've communicated about it, then you know it's a behavior. And then it's up to you to decide, is that something you can live with or not? And the reason why three chances, like, I love it, as the Americans say, there's three strikes and you're out. I love that phrase. love it. But, you know, there are going to be so many things that come up in those 3 months, right? By letting it go the first time, you can assess which one is worth raising for you. And then when you raise whatever it might be the second time, communicating, finding out a bit more about it, communicating what you need, then you've given them a chance. And then the third time, happened again, you can really decide if it's something you can let go or stay with. If you let it go and it really bothers you, that's on you. And if you end up having the same argument over and over again, that's on you. That's not on the person. You know, you've had that information already.
I just want to clarify, it's three chances on the same thing.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
I think this one is so important for our listeners to hear because I think there is a range of people of, you know, just every last red flag is something and we're out the second we see something. And the people that maybe this is more like you, Haifa, from what you've said is, and I was kind of like this too. It's like, I just want to see the best. So I'll just let everything slide and never bring it up. So I kind of like that this is, again, a middle ground. That's like the word I'm going to keep using with your whole strategy, because I feel like it's kind of like best of both, that it's, you know, it's not saying like one strike, you're out, I'm done. You know, you dropped your glasses in the river and you freaked out and I'm over it. Then versus like you're giving someone the opportunity to explain and to hear them out. And that's something we just don't do in modern dating, is we're never having those conversations. It feels like it's like too early or just like we shouldn't need to have them or whatever it is. But the reality is we're all humans. We all have our off days. We all have our quirks. We all have something. So why not learn about it and see if it's something you can deal with? Because if this person has something, the next person's going to have something else. So ultimately it comes down to what can you work with?
Totally. And those first 3 months are the 3 months that you're shaping your actual long-term relationship.
Yeah.
So if you can't communicate and give each other that time and negotiate what you need, then that is a problem, right? Because you won't be able to do it later. You'll be more afraid to do it.
Right.
Something that you talk about on your podcast, Relationship Chicken. I love that so much.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, and coming back to the geek hat that I'm going to wear, like as a futurist, sort of looking at technology advancement and the impact it has on our relationships. And you call it so beautifully, relationship chicken. We are culturally removing ourselves from having those difficult conversations and actually building a connection. And intimacy is built in one way, as you know, is by having difficult conversations, yeah. understanding each other, knowing what you need and negotiating. So you have to do it for yourself. And what I love about this particular part of the strategy that I would love to share with for your listeners is that it challenges you to get over relationship chicken, okay? So mm-hmm. if you can't communicate how something has bothered you or ask some questions on, you know, why they might have approached something that way. Did they have a bad day? Was something yeah. wrong? It was a bit different to what they used to be. And then hear them first and then let them know how it affected you and what you need instead. You know, that gives you an opportunity to challenge yourself to get out of that phase. You know how we talked about just earlier, Julie, that love is a choice? Mm-hmm. Love is a choice. This is a choice you have to make. Yeah. And that second time, that is choosing a different kind of love. That's choosing the kind of love that you're giving someone an opportunity to be heard, to be understood, yeah. and for them to love you and give you what you need. So all these little things are little choices, but it's a challenge to get over relationship chicken and speak up. And yeah. do the thing that we all want, which is be vulnerable and create intimacy. But there's a way to do it. You can do it with love. It doesn't have to be dramatic.
This again focuses on you versus on the other person, because I can see that a lot of times in early dating, we're just judgy.
Yeah.
Someone does something we don't like, we judge them for it, and it becomes about them. But this exercise puts you at the forefront to say, what can I do about this?
Absolutely.
Because I am in control. Versus like just waiting for this person to piss you off again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we do that a lot. I love that it puts you in the driver's seat with your clients who've implemented this strategy. What are some of the more surprising findings along the way?
Oh, so on that third one is how learning how to communicate healthily is not something that they know how to do.
Yeah.
They're afraid to do. They're like, wait, hang on. I'm responsible for this?
Yeah.
They're just supposed to know what yeah. I'm thinking and this oh, isn't yeah. okay. Right. It's like, well, you know, actually, yeah. and hey, they're not alone.
I was
yeah.
in this. Exactly.
Yeah, same. So that's one of the biggest revelations is around the fact that we need to learn healthy communication skills, which enlightened me and enlightens other people that actually we haven't been taught these skills and we have to learn. Mm-hmm. So that's actually what helps. Although it's a strategy and it kind of feels a bit gimmicky at first, if you're hearing it, you're like, oh, there's a dating strategy, three people for 3 months at the same time, you give them three chances or they're out. Actually, there's psychology behind
yeah.
it. And what it is aimed to do is to help trigger you in the nicest possible way to open up to learning relationship skills that yeah. you need to learn to build a healthy relationship, because it's only you that can set the tone for that and then decide if that person can grow with you and meet you where you are.
Yeah. So you started this off by saying the way before the strategy is you were stressed, you were anxious, you were not confident. How did this strategy help you? Like, did it change dating for you?
It did ever since. So first of all, before I penned this strategy, you know, it hurt. I remember laying on my yoga mat at times going, why am I so sad? You know, and just like, you know, at times I was crying and it really affected my self-esteem. I was always worried about whether I'd get a second date or not. And I stopped speaking up for myself too. And I was like, wait. And I then getting all of that data, I was like, okay, so it's not just me. There's stuff going on in the background. So let me go heal myself. So I healed myself, not completely, because we're all a work in progress. I mean, imagine.
Always healing.
How arrogant. I was like, oh, I'm totally healed. No, I'm not. Absolutely not. But when I first used it, I went from swipe to love. Seriously, I did. And so have my other couple. I felt confident again. I had clarity. I knew what I wanted. I got myself out of this scarcity mindset. There's not many people out there. There are many people out there. I felt like I was in charge. I was empowered.
Yeah.
I realized, knowing this one thing that I kept throughout the entire strategy, is that love is a choice and it's my choice.
Yes.
Everything I do is a choice. Who I keep seeing, who I let go, how I let them go. how I react to what bothers me, how I react and actually become a little bit more humble too in the process and apologize for when I've not been great. That is all me. The future of my relationship is how I show up. And that kept me confident throughout the entire process. And sometimes it was really difficult. It's like, oh, I've got to speak up now. I've got to have a conflicting conversation that doesn't work for me because I'm, you know, more of a people pleaser. But I was like, I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to do this. And then the more I started doing things that made me uncomfortable in that context, the more confident I became as a communicator. So I felt more confident, felt more empowered. I found love. And now, fast forward, every time I use it, and I broke up with that person for a reason, it's purely down to having different long-term goals. I changed my mind halfway through. We're human. It happens.
Yeah.
But it now it is so easy. It's a flow and more people want to be exclusive with me before the 3 months. So, you know, it gets easier. It's like riding a bike. You're going to have your stabilizers on. You're like, oh, can I really do this? But keep going. Keep remembering that. Keep doing it. And you'll get into a confident flow dating again.
That's my biggest takeaway from your strategy is I'm renaming it the 333 for me strategy.
Yes.
Because it is about me. The relationship, the people, the connections are just the cherry on top. But being able to go through this experiment for myself or a challenge, I would say, what do I learn along the way? And how do I foster these relationships and connections? And that's what dating is. The relationship part is just a cherry on top. That could come as a result of this strategy, or maybe it doesn't. But what we're really gaining is the control of our love lives, being in the driver's seat and being able to reflect everything back to ourselves. Do I want to be in this? How do I want to make this better? Mm-hmm. What am I in control of? Other than the results, that's where the power is being able to reflect it back on the me.
Love that, UA.
I think in general, there's so many takeaways from this conversation. Thank you again, Haifa, for just like distilling this.
Thank you.
But I think, you know, like finding a strategy that works for you is ultimately my takeaway. Like, I love this because it, you know, gives some framework. It helps you slow down. It helps you get to really know the people. I think that's what's at the essence of it. And ultimately, it comes down to you are the driver. You are in control. And like you said earlier, you go from, you know, being like, does this person like me to do I like them? So I think that's the shift that we all need to have. And I would love to hear if people try the 333, but also like find what works for you and find that like, you know, combination of it. And ultimately, I think at the end of the day, it's how do you gain back your confidence? How do you realize that you are deserving of love? You are a catch. Someone is lucky to be with you. Like all of this, that it can really make you not feel that way when you're in the thick of dating. So how do you get out of your own way with this and find something that works for you is my biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
Love that.
This is very reminiscent of something you did, Julie, when you were dating, is making Wednesdays date night. So you only take dates on Wednesday nights. And what that does is that instead of you waiting to be asked out and or dropping your life because someone asked you out, you have your boundaries.
Yeah.
You have your plan for the week already. And if someone really wants to get to know you, they'll respect your boundaries and come along for the ride. It's very similar in that way.
And I think that's a good point, too, is it sounds like kind of rigid sometimes when you talk about like how to, you know, only have dates on Wednesdays or whatever. But it's like you need to find ultimately how you stay accountable to yourself. And like for me, for instance, I felt like I'd dated a lot of people before. I've gone through a serial dating phase. So maybe I didn't need to do that as much. Like when I was actually like dating this time around, I was kind of like one at a time more, but I would quickly let them go if they weren't the right match. So ultimately, again, comes down to what works for you.
Yeah.
But having the framework is so helpful. Whatever that framework is, you decide it.
Exactly. We are all different, you know, and really what this is aiming to do, other than, you know, and the most important thing is empowering you, is navigating the technological impact that's happening around us that we don't even know is going on. So
true.
It's keeping you focused in a way that's intentional and being mindful with what you're doing and putting some boundaries around how much time you spend and breaking those patterns, because whatever strategy you use, you're going to fall into, actually, there might be someone more better for me, or I am going to let someone go quickly, or I'm going to rush the relationship. I hope whoever is listening to this really takes away that if you date slowly, there's more time for you to get to know somebody. Yes. And if you flip the thinking of there's not enough people out there for me to actually more of an abundant mindset that there is, mm-hmm. and you give people a chance whilst taking accountability and getting over relationship chicken through vulnerability, you will get closer to finding authentic love that has the chance to really grow, that you are accountable to. But I love that, Julie. It's like, you know, whatever works for you, you know, do that and you're closer to love than other people.
Yeah. And I've said this a few times on here, but what I love the most about this is it's a middle ground. It's not so black and white. In today's mm-hmm. dating environment, it's so black and white. It's like you either date four people at once or you date one person, or they have a red flag, or you're too lenient. You get ahead of yourself, or you're never going to commit. Like, this is a good kind of middle space to kind of recheck yourself as you're in it.
Yeah. It's an incubation period. Love it.
Yeah.
Haifa, if people want to get to know more about you and your work, where can they go?
You can find me and everything about B on my website, bewhatmatters.co. No M at the end there. And if you like my chat and geek stuff, follow me on Instagram at @B. And thank you so much, UA and Julie, for having me. It was such a pleasure. I can't wait to share your stories with my listeners. And if you're listening, check them out because we go deep with UA and Julie.
Yes. Those are such fun episodes that we did as well on your show. Thank you again for being a guest on Dateable. For all of our listeners, what did you learn from the 333 strategy? Maybe tell us a little learning, or maybe you've tried the strategy already. What came out of it? Let us know. Give us 5 stars and then tell us what you thought in the body of your review. You can also send us your feedback and any suggestions for future episodes by emailing us hello@datablepodcast.com. Thank you for listening. And we're going to wrap up this episode.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Media Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram @DatablePodcast and visit DatablePodcast.com for access to all the episodes and our premium programs. Also, make sure to subscribe today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform so you are the first to get all the latest episodes. And most importantly, stay Dateable.